Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Micah, affordable housing, reopening the economy and students returning to college life are just some of the issues that are going to be discussed by Cabinet Ministers at their meeting today. I'm joined by Daniel McConnell, political editor with the Irish Examiner. Daniel, let's do Micah first, please. Cabinet very publicly divided here over 90% or 100% underwriting of householders' losses. What's going to happen, do you think?
Yeah, so Dara O'Brien has been under huge pressure to, especially come to a resolution on this issue. This has surfaced in recent months. Obviously, we've seen both on this programme and on other programmes, you know, the kind of the true extent of MICA. You know, you literally have buildings crumbling, you know, visibly in front of, you know, with people and young families essentially living in fear that their houses could collapse around them. So the government have committed to, you know, there is this redress scheme that is in place and 430 families have already signed up to it. However, it's done on a 90%, 10% basis that the state will cover 90% of the rebuild. The families have to cover 10%.
And markedly different for the same type of scheme which was introduced for pyrite
exactly.
In the eastern half of the country.
And the families argue very strongly and very correctly that that redress scheme doesn't cover the cost of, you know, their alternative accommodation for the year or so that they have to be out of the house for, either because some of the houses have to be demolished, they're in such bad state. Others that are being refitted will have to take, you know, several months to be redone. We're also talking in the middle of a housing crisis where the shortage, particularly in Donegal, there's been an acute problem in finding alternative accommodation, with some people having to resort to looking at...
Never mind finding the labour to rebuild your
house. Well, exactly. But some people are resorting to kind of looking at caravans and kind of mobile homes. And that's suitable maybe for a week or 2 weeks. Not really suitable for 6 months during pretty poor winter conditions, etc. like that. So we know that Charlie McConnell and other local politicians up in Donegal and elsewhere are getting it in the neck, to say the least. And Charlie McConnell, the agriculture minister, has already come out publicly in his local media to say that the redress scheme should go to 100%. Now, that is at odds with the state of government position. Dara O'Brien has said he's initiating a review, which will take somewhere between 4 to 6 weeks. And they are looking to, you know, extend the remit of that scheme and obviously increase the cost of it. It's already in around 1 billion is the estimate. They will increase that. Whether they go to the 100% remains to be seen. And there is obviously a concern that, you know, does it represent fairness for the taxpayer? You know, because one of the stated reasons I think the Taoiseach made clear is that a lot of these homes are much more than the 2,000 square foot, which is sort of stated in the redress scheme at present, somewhere 3,000 plus. Is it fair for the taxpayer to have to rebuild pretty sizable homes? So therefore, that's the sort of the horn of the dilemma that the government finds itself on.
And it's not just a Fianna Fáil dilemma, as you suggest, by highlighting the differences between Dara O'Brien and Charlie McConnell, because Joe McHugh in Donegal would also be getting it in the neck, he being a Fine Gael government member. So what way is this going to divide?
Yeah, so what we know is that there's this motion, private members' motion, that's been put down by Sinn Féin, which will go to the Dáil. The government is likely to table a counter motion. The idea highlighting this review process, they're looking to basically find a mechanism by which government TDs can essentially stay on board, because there's, given the white heat that's associated with this issue.
There is talk of some of them walking.
Yeah, there has been a lot of talk. Now, talking to a number of government sources, they say they don't feel they're at that stage right now. But given the heat that the likes of, you know, Joe McHugh, Charlie McConnell Logue in Donegal, Derek O'Leary and others in Mayo, and then even down as far as Clare, you know, the Joe Careys, etc. like that, are facing, they feel that, you know, something much greater than what has been proposed is needed. Whether or not they can convince the likes of Michael McGrath and Pascal Donoghue to release the, you know, or relax the purse strings enough to go the whole hog to do the 100% plus rent costs and everything else, that I suppose is the dilemma that they're facing, because there is opposition within government to going the full way, even though they did it for the pyrite scheme. They're just saying the scale of the two issues are just, you know, night and day.
Reading between the lines of what you're saying here, you can't see one side's argument being stronger than the other. This is going to be a pretty rancorous one, yeah?
Well, I mean, I was talking to one minister yesterday who said, like, it's inevitable they're going to have to get to the 100%. You know, now that's someone who's not in charge of the public purse, like, so probably easier to say that than not. But, you know, are they willing to, suppose, to sacrifice a number of TDs going overboard on this issue in order to kind of maintain kind of prudence in terms of public finances? That remains to be seen.
This issue has dominated and pretty much excluded the changes that are going to be introduced in respect of the Land Development Agency's use or assignment of public lands in future projects. What's happening there? What decision is going to be made today?
Yes, so Dara Bryan is bringing a proposal to allow that up to 100% of public housing in large urban areas. Now, it's going to be clearly for in designated large urban areas. So you're talking about your Corks, your Dublins, your Galways, etc.
But coincidentally, the most profitable.
The most profitable, exactly. Where up to 100%. At the moment, it's 50%. So my understanding is that the memo that will go to Cabinet today will make an order to allow that up to 80% of housing on publicly owned land will be affordable, and the rest, the other 20%, will be social housing. Now,
so basically, no private development is possible.
Yeah.
Not mandated,
no,
but possible.
But possible, and there is flexibility built into the system, so this minister can increase that or reduce that as he sees fit.
Which is a pretty significant development, and I suppose the question that most people might be left asking is, why was the Land Development Agency not entitled to do this at the very outset?
Yeah, I think the government has been rightly open to that criticism, that it's been kind of almost too wedded to this idea of protecting the private side of all of this argument. I think the compelling argument from the opposition, and they've made that this argument very loudly in recent months, is that public land should only be involved in the building of public housing. The government's argument, counter argument, has been, well, listen, we're in the middle of a housing crisis, we need all sorts of housing, public and private, so why would you, I suppose, shut some development down on ideological grounds? But it's clear that mm-hmm. pressure is beginning to bear fruit.
He's also looking for more money for the Land Development Agency. That's not for housing, so to speak, but actually for the administration of the agency.
Yeah, right? And again, he has to obviously liaise with Pascal Donoghue and Michael McGrath, the money ministers, in relation to that, because I think what we've obviously seen since the start of the year is a clear attempt by Fianna Fáil within government to make this a whole of government issue, as opposed to just siloing it off into Dara Bryan's constituents or a department. I think there's a realisation that Owen Murphy, Simon Coveney, Alan Kelly, in their stints as housing minister, were essentially they were left to their own devices, and progress has been pitifully slow. So the idea, if you wrap in the finance departments who hold the purse strings, if you wrap in the Department of an Taoiseach, you get much better progress made. You get a much greater incentive to actually get something done. The Taoiseach at repeated parliamentary party meetings have made this clear. This is a whole of government issue. So this is essentially part of that. So again, there's likely to be a call on the public purse in relation to this, and the questions are beginning to be asked in relation, notwithstanding all the emergency spending that we've seen during COVID-19, at what point do the drawbridges, or at what point do we start drawing in those kind of those extraordinary streams of money?
And they will also, of course, be talking COVID, and we just heard the not unreasonable analysis there from the UCD virologist Dr. Gerald Barry, that perhaps at this point in time in this race against the Delta variant, we might be better off refocusing the vaccination programme on the over 60s who are waiting on their second jab, so that they would be insulated against the Delta variant, rather than continuing the rollout in the direction of the under 40s. Sorry, Daniel. Is this on the agenda today, or is the government happy with the direction of travel and its COVID policy?
Okay, just two things. One, my understanding is that Stephen Donnelly, the health minister, who's actually not a cabinet, he's in Europe, but has made it known that those who got the first dose of AstraZeneca will have to get the second dose of AstraZeneca. This idea of transferring to other doses.
Mixing and matching.
Not on the agenda as of now, so that obviously has an impact.
NIAC says it's a couple of weeks away before making a determination on that.
So that's one thing. The second thing is, the overriding sense from government is that, notwithstanding the concerns of the Delta variant, the scale and the pace of the unwinding of the restrictions will continue. Like, there's no talk of delaying the next phase on July 5th. We're going to continue with that. And certainly the ambition is certainly to ramp up the opening up, throughout the summer, notwithstanding the rise. Now, obviously, they're monitoring the situation very clearly. The idea of bringing forward from 12 weeks to 8 weeks the second dose, is maybe possible, as I've been told, because we're expecting large deliveries both of the AstraZeneca vaccine, but also the much greater numbers of the Pfizer vaccine coming in. So there may be that greater degree of flexibility in the weeks ahead. But again, we're dealing with a very fluid situation, and I think the government have realised that they're dealing with a lot of different crises all at one time, and I think they've learned to their cost by being, if they try to be too ambitious now, they could end up getting burnt in 5 or 6 weeks' time if things don't materialise.
Okay, but they are talking about extending the home quarantine period against any evidence that it ever worked in the past.
Yeah, again, this is one that is deeply controversial, has huge ramifications for the airline industry. We know that in terms of travellers from Great Britain, they will now be subject to a mandatory 14 days if they're unvaccinated. However, they can set that aside after 10 days if they get a clear test. If you're vaccinated, you can set that aside after 5 days. Again, my understanding, according to the memo that went to cabin today, a lot of the logistics and the you know, the I's haven't been dotted, the T's haven't been crossed on this. So there's a lot of questions that remain open in as to how this will work. And all the way along, in terms of hotel mandatory quarantining against all of these sort of restrictions, you know, the policies may be fine in theory. It's the practice and the implementation of those in reality is where these have fallen down. Where will the guards be in relation to this? Who will check up if people are vaccinated or isolating at home properly? All of these remain to be open questions. And there is a doubt, a level of concern within government, according to some I've been speaking to, that, you know, essentially we can bring in this policy, change the regulations, but it won't really matter a damn.
You had a story in the Examiner this morning that caused a few eyeballs to pop out on sticks. What is the total bill for PPE so far?
So in 2020, the total cost of PPE was 915 million. Now, we know, obviously, there was a global sort of shortage and a kind of a rush to kind of get whatever we could in the early stages of the first wave of the pandemic. But to put it in context, that's 2.5 times the cost of the Aviva Stadium. It's almost five times the amount the state put in for the Aviva Stadium and all spent within 9 months of last year, an extraordinary amount of money. So a small number of companies got anywhere between 110 million and 225 million, including one based in Ennis and Clare. A number of the other companies were based in South Korea and China itself. But I mean, like eye-watering amounts of money.
Absolutely eye-watering amounts of money, but it was needed at the time. Some of what we bought was, of course, dross. Is the HSE looking for its money back?
Well, what the HSE said is that, you know, it applied the usual sort of standards of quality, and those that were deemed to be unsuitable were either handed off to other agencies where, like, say, if they're not suitable for a medical environment, they may be suitable in a classroom, or so they've handed them off to those others, or they've engaged with the suppliers to either get a refund or get suitable alternatives. What was very lacking in the answers that Gino Kenny, the People for Profit TD who gave us the information, there was no clarity as to what sort of or how much stuff went back, what sort of refunds have been in place. All we got was the spend in total, which is, as I said, completely eye-watering and astronomical, as Mr. Kenny said.
Indeed. Daniel McConnell of the Irish Examiner, thank you very much for joining us this morning. We'll take another break.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.